Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all. Thank you for coming out on a cold day. Just to remind people, please, that you should turn off your phones, and also that I'll be away for the next 3 weeks, please God. I am going to be in England, then in Canada, in upstate New York, which I hear is very nice this time of year, and then down into Philadelphia. So that is the plan. So hopefully, but you've got some amazing speakers lined up for the next 3 weeks, and you'll have a great time. But please God, I'll be back a month today when it will be nearly Purim. So we'll talk about that as we get there. Today we have the last installment. Before that, sorry, I will read out the dedications and sponsorships. So the program is sponsored this year. The Beit Midrash program is sponsored for 2026. Le'ilu Nishmos, Daniel ben David and Limud bat Avram Strauss, Mordechai ben Moshe and Reisel bat Yosef Meir Marcus, Zichron and Livracha, they are the parents of Judy and Menachem Marcus. And also the shir for the year is, my shir is sponsored, Le'ilu Nishmos Brana bas Brandit and Zelig ben Kalman Zichron and Livracha, and also for the Refuah Shalema of Chana Gittel bas Tova Yenta. So thank you for all of those. Now, today is not only the third a part of a series, but it's actually, I think, a very interesting self-standing shiur. Last week was very complicated, or at least I thought it was, but this week less so, and we are going to be dealing with the issue of kavod hatzibur. Now, let us just recap for a moment and work out where we are. In shiur 1, in part 1, we looked at the halachic development of kriyas haTorah. And we talked a little bit about what kind of an obligation it was. Is it an obligation on individuals? Is it an obligation on individuals to make a communal kriyas haTorah slightly different? Is it an obligation on the community as a whole, but not on any particular individual? And the answer to that question, we said, was yes. There are different opinions, okay? It's all of... there are all of those suggestions made, and we looked at that in some detail. We looked at the issue of whether women are obligated in kriyas haTorah, whatever the level of the nature of that obligation, and the answer to that was probably no. Although there was a little wrinkle there, the Magen Avraham. Last week we got into the mechanics. What is going on when people stand up and get called up and read the Torah? Is the person making the brachas covering the being motzi the person reading, or vice versa? Are they being motzi individuals in the kehillah? Is it again communal? We looked at that, and again that was something of a complicated analysis, and we concluded that the only combination that might work mi'ikar hadin, before we get onto kavod tzibur, is for a woman to be called up and read her own parsha, which we don't tend to do these days, or maybe for a man to be the Baal Koreh and for a woman to be called up. But all of that is somewhat irrelevant, because we need to then move on to the question, well, the source, which we're going to see again in a minute, said, even if it works in theory, in practice, the rabbi said not to do this because of kavod hatzibur. And we therefore need to analyze today, what is kavod hatzibur? Very interesting topic. We're going to look at all of the situations in the Shas where it deals with that analysis. There's only four of them plus this one. And we'll see maybe what is the reason behind it. And is that reason still relevant? Because one of the arguments that's been made by Rabbi Dr. Sperber and others that want to support partnership in Yanim is that whatever kavod hatzibur was, it's not relevant anymore. Times have changed, women have different roles, it's no longer a problem of kavod hatzibur. Or even if it is, the community has the right to be moichel its kavod. We can say, yes, other people do have a particular issue with this, but we don't. And therefore we're happy for women to get aliyah. Or, which we won't have time to deal with today, as Rabbi Sperber suggests, even if there is a problem of kavod hatzibur, which we'll analyze, maybe kavod habriyot overrides that. Now, we're not going to look at that today, because we really need to revisit the issue of kavod habriyot. Fascinating topic in and of itself, and I hope to do that at some point. Maybe not the first year when I come back, maybe yes, depending on how we look at it. I think I'll be tempted to get into Purim material by the time we get there. But we need to look at kavod habriyot again. The idea that there are certain prohibitions which are set aside because of personal embarrassment, embarrassment to people in difficult situations. And Rabbi Sperber suggests that for women who are not able to be called up, that is an affront. That is an insult, or maybe insult's too strong, but that is offensive to them as a group, and therefore that kavod abriyot overrides kavod ha-tzibor. We're not going to deal with that today. And also the major hashkafic issues involved in all of these, and as a lady raised with you just now, women's only Torah readings, which has a lot of hashkafa background, we also don't have time to deal with now, but we will, please God, bli neder, we will get to all of that. There's lots to talk about. Who gets to make these decisions? Who gets to decide that we change the nature of shul in such a significant way, even if we came to the conclusion that, yes, it works? Who gets to make that call? We'll have to talk about that, but again, not quite today. Let's get into Kavod Tzibor. Number one, says the source, this is the third time we've seen it now, but it's worth starting with. It's Tana Rabbanan. Hakol Oile Leminyan Shiva, says the Gemara, everyone counts in principle to the seven aliyahs on Shabbos, afilu katan, even a child, afilu isha, even a woman, aval amru chachamim, but the rabbi said, amru chachamim, isha lo tikra b'torah, a woman should not read from the Torah, because don't forget, at this time, whoever was called up was also the reader, mipnei kavod tzibur. Let's assume there's no difference between kavod hatzibur and kavod tzibur. The rabbis Frimer deal with that in their extensive footnotes. Remember that 90,000 word essay, which I assume most people have read by now, that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. If not, then what is retirement for if not to read 90,000 word articles? But I appreciate a lot of people here still working. So we saw that before. What does it mean women don't read because of Kavod Tzibor? And what does it mean Amru Chachamim? Is that a strange way to say something? Why didn't they just say Asur? The rabbis have a word for prohibited. Asur. They didn't use it here. So the first thing we need to talk about is the argument which is suggested that Amru Chachamim is a recommendation, but it's not a prohibition. This is one of the things that Rabbi Sperber suggests. Even using the words, it's a kind of pasnisht. That's his words originally, which is very weak, meaning there's nothing really wrong with it. Pasnisht. He was held, he was sort of pushed on that point, and I brought you on the second page in the footnote. He pulled back on that, and he said, okay, you're right. Maybe it's a bit more than pasnisht, but it's a debate as to whether it is prohibited or not. So in most cases, Amru Chachamim does mean it's prohibited. Have a look in number two. It comes up a number of times. Vahatanya, this is to do with shatnas. Now shatnas, woolen linen, you know that you're not allowed to put a woolen linen piece of clothing on or put a sheet on top of you with woolen linen. But are you allowed to sit on something which is material, which is made from shatnas? Says the Gemara. Vahatanya, the Pasuk says, Ubegid kilayim shatnas lo ya'ale alecha. Don't put shatnas on top of you, okay? Aval, says the Gemara, ata mutar lahatsiya tachtecha. But you are allowed to put it underneath you. However, aval, amru chachamim, the rabbi said, asur la'asotze. Okay, you'll say they did say asur there, but they said asur. Shema tichrach nima achat al basaro. Maybe you'll be sitting on it, but it'll maybe curl around you, go around your legs, and then before you look around, you'll be having shatness on you. And therefore here, Amru Chachamim, they said to do this, and we don't do this, it's prohibited. The Shulchan Aruch brings down, even if you have 10 levels of mattresses, one on top of the other, and the very bottom one is has shatness in it, then you're not allowed to sit on it. There is, of course, a famous story, like all these stories, did it happen this way? I don't know, but of the Stipler Gaon of Yaakov Kanievsky, who was set up on a date with the sister of the Chazon Ish, and he knew he'd have to take a very long train ride in order to get there, so he stayed up all night learning the night before because he reckoned he wouldn't be able to learn the next day. And he said, it's fine, I'll sleep on the train and I'll get to learn the night before, etc. When he got on the train, he looked at the seats and he was worried that actually there might be shatnas in the seats. Exactly how he knew there would be shatnas in the seats, that's a bit of a story that I didn't quite get, but maybe he knew, maybe he'd seen it before, maybe he had Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. But he didn't sit down the entire journey because he wouldn't sit on the seat because of this halacha. He stood up the entire journey. He was completely exhausted. He met the Chazon Ish's sister and he fell fast asleep at the date. Okay? But she married him anyway. So all's well that ends well. But here we see Amru Chachamim means You're not allowed to do it. Okay, you'll say to me, but there it does say asur, and therefore maybe that's why it is prohibited. But here's another case. Look at number three. Tan Rabbanon, mitzvas vidui, erev Yom Kippurim, im chashecha. When do you have to say vidui on Yom Kippur? When the night comes in, when you start to daven Mariv, that's when you say vidui. Aval amru chachamim, but the rabbi said, yisvade kaidim sheyochol yishte. You should do vidui at mincha before you eat. Shemati tarif daiso basuda. Maybe you'll get, you'll drink some wine at the suda, you'll fall asleep, you'll miss Yom Kippur, whatever, you will be confused. Get the vidui in early. Do we do that? Absolutely. Shulchan Aruch says that is what you have to do. You say vidui before mincha, and then you go into Yom Kippur and you say more and more and more. So, Amru Chachamim, we absolutely do this. It's halach in Shulchan Aruch. And there could be many more examples that I could bring you. Generally speaking, Amru Chachamim means it's something that you have to do. It's not a recommendation. But occasionally it is. Number four, the Tanya. What about a judge in a Beis Din making a judgment about an item, whether it is permitted or prohibited? Says the Gemara here. Dan esadin, a judge makes a judgment. V'chein edim shehiyidu, or edim come to a court case and they give testimony about something which is permitted. And there's a ruling that is permitted. Are they allowed to go then later and buy it for themselves? Or do we suspect, funny business going on. They say it's okay, it's kosher, and then they buy it for themselves. Maybe they said it was kosher because they wanted to get a hold of it. So, no, we don't distrust them. If the judge made a judgment, if the edim made gave testimony, we trust them. Kulam rishayim likach. They're allowed to buy the thing afterwards. Aval amru chachamim. But the rabbi said, harchek min hakiur umin hadoimela. Stay away from anything that is bad and anything that smells bad. It's not a good idea for the judge to be seen with this item that he gave a ruling on. Now, that's advice. Maybe good advice. Maybe strong advice. But it's not binding, it's not asur. So there you see, Amru Chachamim does mean, in this particular case, that it's recommended rather than prohibited. So you can make the case, and Rabbi Sperber says, well, maybe this Amru Chachamim is also one of the recommendations and not one of the prohibitions. There's a problem with that, because there's another source, there's a Tosefta that says it's straight. We haven't seen this yet. Look in number five. Hakol Olin Liminyan Shiva. All account for the seven aliyahs, afilu isha, afilu katan. So far, so good. Sounds exactly the same. But then it just says, ein meviim esa isha likrot barabim. But you may not call up a woman to read in public. Didn't say amru chachamim. Didn't even mention kavod hatzibur. It just says, you can't do it. And when the Rambam brings it down, he doesn't bring amru chachamim, this, that, and the other. Now it says in number six, Isha lo tikra batzibur, a woman may not read in public, mipnei kavod atzibur. So I think it's something of a far-fetched case to say that Amru Chachamim here means just pasnish. And I brought you the wording in the footnote there, that you can see Rabbi Sperber's kind of retraction of that, and said that it may be actually that it is a little bit stronger than he made out. So that's the first thing that I wanted to talk about in Amru Chachamim. Another argument that's been raised is that, well, maybe this is like a historical sort of progression. Maybe originally, the beginning of the source, women used to go up to read from the Torah. But then at a later stage, the rabbis turned around and said, we don't think this is okay anymore because of Kavanat Tzibur. Now, it's a difficult argument to make because there is not a shred of evidence for it. There's no historical evidence. There's no textual evidence that this is, well, it used to be, but then it changed to that. Because often that does happen, but it's very clear that there used to be a case, and then they said you can't do that anymore. Here it sounds much more like it's a lachatchila b'diyevet. Lachatchila b'diyevet. This is very important. Meaning, lachatchila, you should not call a woman up. B'diyevet, maybe if you did, then there's the original position. But it doesn't sound like it's a historical issue. Yes, sir? Yes.
It's a double-edged sword.
Why is that?
Because it could have been the other way around. It may have been also once upon a time, and as time went on, so they just gave it as a recommendation.
It could have been prohibited to start with. But no, because the beginning, the first statement is, I call Oilen. Everybody counts. But then the rabbi said, it sounds much more like it used to be mutter, but then it wasn't. But actually, all of the Meforshim understand this as being Eila B'dievet L'chatchila. Have a look, please, in number seven. Look at the top of page three. And we'll see some of these B'dievet cases, which is very interesting. The Rokeach, on the Rambam, the Maaseh Rokeach rather, on the Rambam, brings down and says, no, this is not a case of it used to be and then it was. Rabbeinu Kasar Kitsur Hadin. The rabbi, the Rambam, he says, just writes it as prohibited. The Isha Loi Tikra Mipnei Kovod Atzibo. In Cain, if that's the case, Ne'esa Legamri. He doesn't even want to take account of a b'di'evet. It's just asa. It's like your food is treif. There's no b'di'evet. But most of the Meforshim did admit to a level of b'di'evet. And there are four cases, very interesting cases, which are brought down. This is not a historical precedent, but these are cases where there is indeed a room to say that a woman could get called a b'di'evet. So the first one we mentioned already, and even Rabbi Vadi Yosef brings this down, which is that they called a woman up by mistake. Ta'amod gittel bas sprinsa. Okay? Said, some of the Meforshim say that if a woman was called up by mistake, she can continue to take the aliyah. She shouldn't have been called up, because you don't do that, because of Kovod HaTzibur. But now you have, it's very negative for someone to receive an aliyah and then decline it. We saw that with Rabbi Akiva last week, remember? When the students said, Rabbi, how can you not go up? They called you up to read. It's a schooler for a long life. God forbid someone will have a short life if they decline. He said, I didn't prepare the laning, so that's a good excuse. Here the woman was called up, and maybe she can go up. And as I said, Rav Avadya brings that down as a b'di'evet situation. Here are three other ones. What about a shul which is only kohanim? Okay? You have a community where every single member there is a Cohen family. Mr. Cohen, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Kagan, Mr. Cohen. Okay? So the Maharam of Rottenberg has a tshuva and says, what do you do? So the first, who do you call up Cohen? Anyone, okay? They're all Cohenim. You call up Cohen. Who do you call up Levi? There is no Levi. What do you do if there's no Levi? Ya'amod Cohen bim kom Levi. He gets the second aliyah. Says the Maharam, but you can't call him up again. There's no such thing as having three aliyahs. So you can't call the same guy up for the third time. To call another Cohen is a problem. Because it's an implication that the first Cohen didn't have yichas. And therefore, maybe we've realized that, you know, you didn't count. And therefore, it's an insult to call up a third Cohen. Says the Maharam of Rottenberg, who gets aliyahs 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7? The women. The women get called up for the aliyahs 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 because there is no other choice. Because the zilzul, the insult for the Cohen's yichas overrides the kavod sibba. This is the b'di'evet situation. So that's interesting. I've never seen it happen in practice, probably because the Shulchan Aruch rules against it. Shulchan Aruch says no. The Shulchan Aruch actually follows the Rashba, where he says, in a town where everybody is a Kohen, no one's going to get upset that you don't think he's a Kohen. And therefore, this is an exception to the rule. What do you do in that situation? This is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. You call up Cohen for number one, and then a different Cohen, and a different Cohen, and a different Cohen, and a different Cohen, and a different Cohen. And nobody's worried about the fact that, oh, are you implying? Because no one's implying. It's just a sound of Cohenim. Everybody knows everybody's yichas. But it's interesting, the Maharam does allow that as a b'di'evet. Another b'di'evet. Some poskim bring down, let's say that there aren't seven, there's no Baal Korah. And there aren't seven men that can read. There are only three people that can read. And what's going to be? So, for their own aliyahs. So some poskim say, if there aren't seven men that can read, then you call up whatever men you can. And the rest of them, you call up women. But that's a very unlikely scenario, honestly. But it's, I suppose it could happen as a b'di'evet. The last one, Rav Yaakov Emden, who could always be guaranteed to come up with some interesting, you know, out-of-the-box ideas. He says, I think there's a situation where a new mother had a baby and the father is out of town or unavailable and they need to call him up for a Misha Berach for the new baby and he's not there. And if they don't call them up now, then they'll forget about it. And it's very important that they get a Misha Berach. Why exactly? It's so important. I didn't read the whole tshuva inside. He says, you call up the mother. The father's not available, but the Yevid, you call up the mother, and she can have the Misha Berach for the newborn baby. But he says, which he sometimes says, but this is a little bit out of the box, and therefore I'm not prepared to rule this way unless my colleagues support me. And he, which they didn't. And he also says, I'm only prepared to allow this, even if they support me, in a private minyan, not in shul. And we're going to raise this as a question. What is the relevance of a private minyan? Can you get away with things in a private meaning in your home that you can't get away with in the shul. We're going to see that at the very end. So there are four interesting bedievets, but they don't. None of them really help our partnership minyan case, because you're setting up a shul, a chatchila, to do these things as opposed to bedievet. And by the way, and this is very important, what if you do something which is permitted bedievet, but you did it lechatchila? Does that work? Meaning, if I drop milk into my chicken soup, and it's a tiny drop, less than a 60th, then it's okay. What if I did that on purpose, knowing that it would be okay by the end? Okay, so then there's Ein Vatan Issa Lechatchila as well, but there are many situations, according to many, I brought you in the footnote of Knesset Yisrael and others, if you are naughty and you do something Lechatchila, knowing that that's only really allowed by the end, then it doesn't even work by the end. Bedieved is for people who made a mistake. We all make mistakes. It's not for people who want to try and cheat the system. So it's interesting. You could say, even if you say, well, it's okay, bedieved, for women to get called up. Well, this is not bedieved. Or is it? And that's the next thing we need to say. Because one of the things that people claim is that our whole generation is bedieved. We are now in a situation where the halacha doesn't fit with the way that women feel, and therefore that is called a bedieved. And we have a principle, shas hadchak, a time of a pressing need, is like a bedieved, and in a shas hadchak, you can actually do something which would normally only be permitted bedieved. And the proponents of the partnership in Yanin give a few examples. They say, well, didn't we have a halacha that women don't come to shul when they are in nida? We talked about this. But the Trumas HaDeshi said, but on Rosh Hashanah, the Yamim Narayim, they can come, because it'll be so upsetting for women if you tell them they can't come to shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So you see, a halacha was overridden by the fact that women really would feel bad. So the answer to that is, no, it was never a halacha. There's no halacha that women can't. It was a minhag. Women had a minhag not to come to shul. So you're not overriding a prohibition. You're just saying, well, the minhag doesn't apply in Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah because it's important that the women are there. So that's not such a great example. Another example, which is very interesting, is the Sridei Eishi's famous tshuva about men and women singing together. Just to bring you into the loop on this, we could spend a whole session on this. This is a landmark tshuva. In the 1960s, he was asked about a youth group, a kind of NCSY-type predecessor. I think it was a group in France, where you had young men and young women trying to get more involved in Judaism, an outreach kind of movement, early days. And the boys and the girls all sang Zmiris together on Shabbos, and someone asked, is this permitted or is this not permitted? And you can read the tshuva, and he goes back and forth, well, it's not right, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. And in the end, he says, we have to press the kind of a kiruv button and say we have to rely on all of these heterim. You know, two voices can't be heard, and it's Shabbos Miris. And he puts together a bunch of quite weak heterim to come out with a psak and say, all together, you can do it. So people want to say, oh, you see, when you really need to do something, the rabbis can find a way. You end up with Lou Greenberg's famous statement, which he then retracted and said, I didn't really mean it that way, but okay, which is where there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way, which is not true. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who was not known for his harsh comments about anyone for that matter, was very strongly against this and said it's not true, because there are heterim, there are bona fide heterim, but they're all weak. But you put them all together and you add kiruv into the mix, and you end up with something which is allowed. Okay, I hear that. It's a little bit closer than the women coming to shul on Rosh Hashanah. Or, and this is the strongest, in theory, the Chofetz Chaim allowed Beis Yaakov. Now, if you can do that, you can do a lot of things. Because it says very clearly in the Shulchan Aruch, you are not meant to teach Torah to women, including Chumash. Certainly not Gemara. But even Chumash, you are not meant to teach Torah to women. And the Shulchan Aruch brings that down. And Sharash Shmira set up a system of schools in Eastern Europe. She didn't ask a Shaila before she did it. She asked a Shaila after she did it. But she got support beforehand from the Belzer Rebbe and from others. And then she, maybe it was the Gera Rebbe, I can't remember. But later on, when people were writing, when the schools were becoming more successful in the 20s, early 30s, people were writing to the Chofetz Chaim, saying like, what is this? This woman has set up a school system against the Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yaakov. Can we send our daughters there, yes or no? And the Chofetz Chaim wrote a very famous piece and said, yes, because times have changed and we're not going to follow this Shulchan Aruch anymore. We must teach our women Torah. In fact, mitzvah gedola, which is it's a flip. It's not just like a... It's no mitzvah gedola to have women's Torah teaching, even if the Shulchan Aruch says no. So they say, look, that's a very good example of where we made a major change. And the answer is yes, that is a very good example. But here's the important piece. It was the Chofetz Chaim that said it. There are shifts in the, if you like, the maslul of Masorah that we see, where it shifts from one path to another path. We say, let's rely on minority opinions, let's make changes for different reasons. I believe that is possible, but, and we'll talk about this another time, the people that can make those calls are the senior postgame of the generation. People like the Chofetz Chaim, who take responsibility for the halachic authenticity of their own generation, they can make those calls. And I think that if one of the senior leaders of any significant Orthodox community in the world said, you know something, it's time for partnership minyanim. Let's bring it on. We need it. Okay, then that's a different conversation. But that has not happened. And even Talmidei Chachamim, great, you know, minds like Rabbi Sperber and others, they're not the leaders of the generation. In fact, in one of his own essays, he starts his essay by saying, I'm not a global Pesach, I'm not someone who makes policy for the Jewish people, but I think this is permitted. I think he's every right to say that. He's not one of those people, and therefore you can't bring in the Chofetz Chaim and say, well, it's all the same. It's not the same. Leaving aside the fact that we said in the first year that even Rabbi Sperber himself is sometimes left by the wayside with the minyanim that want to do their own thing without asking anybody anything, and therefore it's important to say that you need to be the right person. But Aaron Lichten says again, you know, you can't make the whole generation into a Shas Adchak generation. But there are considerations. I wanted to bring you this source in number 8. This is a very important source. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, Sachli Abba Eliezer. Rabbi Yossi from one of the Tanaim, a famous Tanaim, he says, I heard from Father Eliezer. Who's Father Eliezer? Abba was one of the ways that they referred to senior Chachamim. It's become a little bit Christian sounding to call people Father, you know, Father this and Father that. But that used to be us. Pam Achat, he says, it once happened, Hayalanu Egel Shel Zivrei Shlamim. We had a korban, a calf of a shlamim, that a family, it was like a family, brought this shlamim to the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'yunu le'ezras nashim, and they took it into the Ezras nashim, to the women. V'samchu alav nashim, and the women did smicha, even though women are not obligated in smicha. Says the Gemara, lo'y mipnei she'es smicha b'nashim. Not because women are obligated in smicha, but we needed to keep the women happy. We needed to get relaxed. There were faribbles going on. The women said, oh, what's going on? This is our korban. Why aren't we doing smicha? The men are doing smicha. And they allowed that. There's a one-off. Now, when you look into the case, they didn't do real smicha. They did a kind of mini smicha, whatever they did. But it is important that we do take this seriously. We don't just dismiss these things. And like I said in the first year, when I quoted Rabbi Billet, we don't dismiss the people who want this and say, oh, this is, you know, conservative or reform. God forbid, these are Orthodox people who want to take account of issues like this. We don't want to upset whole parts of the Jewish people, especially the women. You know, no one wants to upset the women. And therefore, we do take that seriously. That doesn't mean you can do anything, but it does mean you have to see what you can do. Very quickly, yeah? What's that? What about Nechama Leibowitz? Okay, so I don't think Nechama Leibowitz ever said anything about partnership in Yanim. Nechama Leibowitz was a teacher. Women have been Torah teachers for the last 150 years. She was a senior teacher. She never made out that she was a Rav or a Posek or anything like that. She was a woman with enormous kochas that wanted to teach the Jewish people. She kind of invented the first open university without even really meaning it. People were sending in, she was sending out questions, people were sending in answers, and she was marking them, etc., etc. Now, let's have a look at the other Talmudic precedents for Kovod HaTzibur. What is the reason for Kovod HaTzibur? Because unless we know the reason, we can't ask the question, well, does it still apply? Maybe it just doesn't apply today. And therefore, let's leave it aside. So let's have a look. So, again, this is very interesting in and of itself. What are the cases? The first case is, can a community read the Torah from a single scroll? Meaning, back in the day, they used to have Megillahs of Bereishis, like in your house. You might have a Bereishis, a Shmos, a Vayikra, etc., that you'd use for your own personal learning. So let's say the shul doesn't have a Sefer Torah. So they say, it's okay, so we're laying Pashas Bo, let's someone bring a Shmos, and we're laying it from there. It's a kosher Megillah for Shmos. Can they do that? So look at number 9. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damir Shavayu. The Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both said, "Ein korim b'chumashim b'beis haKnesses." We may not read from a chumash. Chumash doesn't here mean a book. Chumash here means a single scroll. Mishum kavod tzibur. It's not covered for the tzibur. Why? So the Ran says, "Shinira ka'oni," because they look like an impoverished community. It's Nebuch. Nebuch. They can't afford a safer Torah. But they can afford a safer Torah, but they just don't have one. But they're looking as though they're a Nebuch community. It's not kavod tzibur for the community. Maybe even if they are poor. But okay, so they won't have leining, but they won't just project themselves to the wider community as a Nebuch community. The Talmud Yerushalmi brings an interesting source, and the Rav Yag gives a slightly different reason. Look at number 10, very interesting. Hada Arsakinus. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce his name exactly. This fellow Arsakinus, Oike Araisa de Tzanbarai, a place where he burned their Sefer Torah. He was an anti-Semite, non-Jew. He came, he burned the shul down. He burned the Sefer Torah. They didn't have anything. As and Shalom the Rebbe Yonah and Rebbe Yosei. They sent a Shiloh to Rebbe Yonah and to Rebbe Yosei. Ma'oli Kreis b'Sefer Chaser b'Rabbim. Can we read with... Now, Sefer Chaser could be a Chumash, like a scroll of Shemos, or it could be Apostle Sefer Torah. We have Apostle Sefer Torah in the back. That we can use. Can we use that because we have nothing else? And it's not their fault. Amalon, and he said to them, no. Asur... The loyasur. I can't say it's prohibited. I can't say it's actually prohibited because, you know, never. What can you do? Elamin goy de nafshon agima. It's good that you should have a sense of agmas nefesh inun zavin lahon achoyri, and that will bring you to buy, to save up, to have a fundraiser to buy a new Sefer Torah. Meaning, he gives a very interesting answer. He says that I don't have a problem in theory with you doing it because it's not your fault, but you'll become lazy. And you won't do it. And that's the reason you'll say, it's fine. What do we need to spend $50,000 on a new Sefer Torah? We've got a heter to use this one. We'll just stick with this one. Look what the Rav Yah says. De'ein pitaron kovod atzibur p'nei she'einam shalem. The problem of kovod tzibur is not that they're reading from a apostle Sefer Torah. Oh, Nebuch, they're reading from an apostle. Ele g'nayhu l'tzibur. But it's an insult. It's insulting for this tzibur. It's inappropriate. She'ein lahem Sefer Torah ha'asuyu k'mitzvasa. That they don't have a proper Sefer Torah. Va'af agav the loy ez shahashta. And even though there's nothing they can do now, loy sharina nehu. We don't let them do it. Shema yitzrashlu milik no sefer. Because they might get lazy. And they might say it's okay. So kovod tzibur in that case is that we don't want to allow a community to settle for a second best. Yeah, we don't need a full Sefer Torah. We need apostle. We can be happy with apostle Sefer Torah. Now, what's going on with women's aliyah? So you can't compare women's aliyah to a second best Sefer Torah. But men are chayav and women are not. There's no question about that, or there's very little question about that. We saw that last week, and therefore you're going to end up with a minyan where the men say, you know something. Let the women do it. The women might be better at it. The women might be keener to do it. Who wants to prepare the laning, right? You know, if you've ever been a gabbai, you'll know getting guys to volunteer to do the laning is one of the hardest things. You open it up to the women. I bet you'll have lots of takers, and I bet they'll be very keen, and I bet they'll be great at it.
They will do it better than the men.
I don't doubt it for a second. I don't doubt it for a second. And then you're going to have a situation where the men are going to say, who needs men anymore? Like the women, they do a great job. They do a fantastic job. And the answer is, whoa, you've given the whole mitzvah over to a group of people who are wonderful people, but they're peturim. They don't have a chiyuv, and then you've left it to them. That was that kavod tzibur.
Why does it say katan in the first sentence that you read today?
What do you mean?
She'yicholim lekro.
Yeah.
Katan ve'isha.
Yes, yes. Correct. We talked about that. We're on the kavod tzibur side now. That might not work anymore at all because of all the Balkari situation from last week. What we need to deal with is the kavod tzibur situation. Let's do another case.
Look here.
What's that?
What exactly did they do in that case when said
they didn't have laning? They say, okay, so you can't have laning.
They were covered in tzibur can actually.
Yes, correct. They say, Betty, you should not have laning. And everybody says, well, we can't, what are we going to do? We don't have laning every week. And the answer is, well, you'll have a fundraiser and you'll raise it, get a Sefer Torah, you'll get it, you'll sort it out. Because not having laning will give them a sense of, well, we've got to get this done, we've got to deal with. Next case, page number 5. A pocheach. Now, this is very interesting. What's a pocheach? It says number 11. Katan korib a Torah. A kid can read from the Torah, okay? how does this work? Polcheach, Purisech Shema, Rumatagi Mavale, Einukar, stop, 1 second. A cotton, a child, can read from the Sefer Torah. But a polcheach, someone with torn clothes, tattered clothes, maybe short trousers, shorts, short pants. Purisech Shema, they can do certain things in the shul. Umatargim, they can be the matargim, they can do some of the davening, they can do some of the tirgum. Aval ein ukayre b'Torah. A polcheach cannot read from the Torah. Okay, why not? Because it's a covered civil issue. Have a look at number 12. Says the Gemara in Megillah. Boy minei ula. So barav me abaya. So ula barav asked abaya. Okay, a cotton can read from the Torah. A polcheach can't read from the Torah. So, cotton pocheach, maushi grepa Torah. What about a cotton who's got short pants? Let's call it short pants. Maybe that's okay. Why would that be okay? Because it's still the case. A kid wearing short trousers, short pants, is different from a grown up wearing short pants. Yeah, maybe that's okay. Amalei, he said, v'tiboyle orum. Okay, maybe it's a problem. What about a naked person? Can a person with no clothes on read from the Torah? No, of course not. Or in my time alone, why can't a naked person read from the Torah? Mishum kavod sibur. Because of kavod sibur. Hachanami, here also, mishum kavod sibur. Mishum kavod sibur. Meaning, it's not the fact that he's a kid and kids get away with that. It's okay. It's not so bad for a kid to have short pants. It's not the same as a grown-up. There's just the very fact that we have someone with short trousers there, we're not going to allow that. Now, it's interesting. Rashi suggests maybe it's an issue of erva, and we're going to get to that in a minute. And the elephant in the room, of course, is Kol Isha. Why are we not even mentioning Kol Isha? We're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay? Maybe the suggestion was, if a man stands up and has very little clothing on, there's a problem with erva. But if a kid does, maybe it's not. And Rashi says, no, that's not the answer in the end. The answer is anyone. It's nothing to do specifically with erva, but erva could have been an issue as well. But even without the erva, there's a problem of kavod sibur. You can't have someone with short trousers davening from the other. That's another example. Keeping the community waiting. We've all been there, right? Someone gets out the wrong Sefer Torah. And it's we're reading Parshas Bo, and the Sefer Torah is in Dvarim. So we all sit there while they, roll the Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rebbe Tanchum, Amar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, Ein Shliach Tzibur Rishai LaHafshid Et HaTeva B'Tzibur. Another thing they had then is sometimes they didn't have an Aron Kodesh, and they'd set up the Aron Kodesh and hang the curtain on and take the curtain off every time they did the laning. So they bring the Torah from someone else, and the Gabbai would set up the Aron Kodesh. Now, you can't do that in the tzibur. Mipnei kavod tzibur, Rashi says. She toreach tzibur la'akev sham, to wait there in Sefer Torah. You do it before. Set up the shul before. Take it all down afterwards. But don't do it while everybody's sitting there and waiting. And similarly, they can't roll the Torah, number 14. Amar Rav Huna Brei, the Rabbi Shua Amar Rav Sheshis. We don't roll a Sefer Torah in public. Again, we get out a second Sefer Torah, a third Sefer Torah. So, again, let's put this into our situation. How does this relate? What is the reason for Kavod Sibur here? People are going to get angry. People are going to get annoyed. It's inconvenient. We don't want to delay. How does this relate to us? It doesn't seem to have exactly a direct parallel with us. So, in fact, when they come to the issue of women in Kavod Sibur, there are three reasons given. Three specific reasons given why there might be an issue of Kavod Sibur for a woman's aliyah. Let's look at these reasons now. The first one is because it's a disgrace on the men that the men aren't able to do it. Okay? Number 15, Tashma, this is benching. Ba'emis Amru, Ben Mavarech La'aviv. A kid can bench for his father. Ve'evid Mavarech La'rabbi. And an evid can bench for his master. The ishim of a rechet labala, and a woman can bench for her husband. Aval amru chachamim, here we are again. Amru chachamim, the rabbi said, tavu meira la adam sheishtu ubanav mavarchin loy. A curse comes on a man whose wife and son have to bench for him. Meaning, this is assuming, by the way, that women have the same obligation in Birkas HaMazon, which is not totally straightforward. But the Ritva says, it explains what's going on here. Number 16, Lamai the Kaima Landa Ishamido Raisa Machaiva Kimasmisi Kapashta. According to the view that women have an obligation, then it's a straightforward teaching. But ben godol, we're talking about an adult child, ubedachel ihu shira daraisa, and he ate enough to bench for his father. The asu hani umafkele, and then they're motzi, the women, the children are motzi. Umipneshi who bore. The problem is the guy is an ignoramus. Yosef irikasam kederuch shamru. Then he can listen to his wife bench in theory. Because don't we pass in if one of them is an ignoramus, the echad chacham, and one of them is able to do it, okay? Mevarich chacham, mevor yotze. The chacham that says the brocha, and the bor listens. Umipneze amru shitav alom eira, and that's why the rabbi said this husband is a terrible disgrace, because sheloi lamad, he didn't learn. The habor, and he's an ignoramus. Sheyatze mevarich asacherim sheloi b'sim, meaning she benches for him. What's wrong with him? Why can't he do it? Now, what happens if he's not an ignoramus? If he can bench, but he just says, you know something? I'd like my wife to bench. Does this whole reason go away? Maybe the whole thing goes away. And I brought you the Gaonim here in number 17, who says, we haven't got time to read it in, inside. He says, but you see from this, the problem is when the guy is ignorant. He should have learned. He should have gone to school. But if the guy can bench and his wife, he just prefers to give it to his wife to bench, maybe that's not a problem. So again, you can see, what's the problem of a woman's aliyah? That the men aren't able to do it? Okay, so that would be the men aren't able to. We see this with Megillah, number 18. The Kevin, the Kamalan, Kerib, Yeshua ben Levi, the Chayavot. You see with women that they're obligated in Megillah. Af Motzias, then in theory, they can be Motzi the men. El She'ein Zer Kovod Letzibur. Here we see Kovod Sibur, it's not Kovod Sibur. This is part of that curse. Again, even if the men can do it, but certainly if the men can't do it, there's a problem here, and this is linked, they link it to the issue of the Torah reading. And this is the reason why we have this Kovod Sibur issue for women's Torah reading, according to many poskim. Rab Uziel, look in Rab Ben Sion Uziel, number 19. Why can't we give aliyahs to women, he said. Perush Kovod HaTzibur Hu, Shalo Yomru, people shouldn't say, She'ein bein ha'anashim mi she'yodei likro b'torah. That the no one, that the men don't know what they're doing. Maybe even if the men do know what they're doing, but they ask the women, people will say, why? You know why? Do you know why they have women's aliyahs in this shul? The men make out that they're feminists, but it's really just because they're ignorant. The men don't know anything and the women are clever. Okay? That's the Nebuch for the Kovod Sibur. Rabbi Henkin says this very clearly. When Rav Henkin deals with the issue of Kovod Sibur, he says the issue is Meira. Look at number 20. She Kovod Sibur le'inyan kriyas nashim. What is the issue of Kovod Sibur with women reading? Ein orak kadei shelo ye'era ki'ilu ein sham dvarim hayodim likra. It's not just that the men look foolish because they can't read. Ela kadei shehagvarim lo yismachu mirasha kriyas nashim. It's the men will want to leave it to the women. You see what I just said? V'yit aslu, and they'll just become lazy. Mililmod likra or lanagim b'tamim v'atzman. He knows men and he knows women. He says that's the point. Once you allow the women to do it, the men will just pull out. They'll go to the kiddush club. They'll set up the kiddush. The men will have like an olam hafuch. The women will be laning and the men will be setting up the kiddush. Okay, Kiddush on Shabbos is different. It's private, it's in her house, it's home, she has the same chiyuv, etc. So that's one view. A second view is, which Rav Henkin definitely disagrees with, it's nothing to do with the Meira, it's nothing to do with it looks terrible, the men are giving it to the women, they're not interested, they're lazy or they're ignorant. It's sneers. Now once you start talking about sneut, everybody starts twitching, first of all, okay? But let's just look what he says. Says Rav Yaakov Emden, number 21. V'nira da'adif evin mi'ishava. If you're going to call anyone up, it's better to call up an Eved than to call up an Isha. Why? The it barishum covered sibul lachatchila, because the woman has a bigger problem of covered sibul. Miad hecha de esha bilta. Okay, certainly if you don't need her. Mishum de isha be Ezras Yisrael minayin. Why is there a woman in the Ezras Yisrael? We'll see where that comes from soon. Masha ein came be Eved, but that doesn't apply to an Eved. He's a man. What's going on with the Ezras Yisrael? In the Beis HaMikdash, they had an Ezras Noshim, which was mixed, men and women. It wasn't just women. On Sukkot, they built a balcony, where they just had the women. But the rest of the year, anyone could be in the Ezras Noshim. Then they had an Ezras Yisrael, which was men only, and women if they needed to be there for specific korban reasons. A woman had to do a tnufa, she had to do a wave the offering, and a zirah had to come in, someone had to come in, a sota had to come in. But normally speaking, if you had a woman in the Ezra Yisrael, the Gemara says, Isha be'ezrus Yisrael minayin? Why is there a woman here? Meaning there's a woman on the men's side of the mechitza that is not appropriate. And there's a problem of sniut. And that's how Rav Zalman Nechemiah understood it. Look at number 22. Says Rav Zalman Nechemiah, Shinira shekovod sibahu inyan shel sniut. He says it explicitly. It's a problem of snias. And you have a woman standing in the middle and all the men looking at her. And by the way, I even brought you one of the Jofa. Who was it that I brought you here? I can't remember exactly. I put it down on one of them. He was saying that it makes sense that the issue, if there is an issue, would be a tznius issue, because at the end of the day, you have all these men standing and looking at the women and thinking about the women, and it can end up in a negative place. Look in, I brought you Rabbi Moshe Meiselman, number 23. Covered sibah reflects a sexual reality, not a legal difference between men and women. Again, focused on the sneers. Rav Shechter says, number 24, of Herschel Shechter, Shemaspik Mashegvarin Sarach Lefam Lehit Pasher Al Midas at Sneer Shalahem. It's bad enough that men have to compromise their sneers. Meaning it might not be tsanua for a man to be center stage either, which is important actually, in a very, very nice source. I should have put that in my book, actually, he says that. The Ein Lanu Litzvoa Mehanashim. Are we going to ask women to do that as well? She'd pass through Avheim Al at Sneer Shalahem. We're going to ask a woman to take center stage as well. Ubavadai im ein shama b'minyan geber sheyodei likrobatory. It is even worse if there's no men who can read. Yesh lanu vakesh me'isha. We're going to now ask a woman shetikrahi that she's going to read. Aval ein zem min hanochem. This is not correct. Mitam kovad etzibon. Shebezeshim achrichim le'isha. We're pressuring women. Interesting how he says it. We're pressuring women la'avor al midas hatznir shela. To compromise their sniut because we're not able to do it. V'likrob a Torah v'rabim. Okay? Mary Malatzibu she'ein shama gvorim she'yodim because he puts the two reasons together. The men are ignorant, and even worse, they're pressuring the women to compromise their sniut. The problem is, once you raise sniut, it's very subjective. It's very subjective. You say, oh, a woman's going to be a chief executive of a company. What about sniut? The answer is, well, yes, women are chief executives of many companies and prime ministers and leading public figures in many other areas. So maybe you'll turn around and say, well, if sniut is the problem, sniut has changed. Maybe the issue that the men will be lazy, that hasn't changed. But the sniut, you could argue, has changed. And therefore, many people have rejected this outright, both classic and modern Meforshim. I brought you Rav Henkin here, Rav Uziel, number 26. He says, Perush kovad atzibah hu shelo yomu she'ein ben anashim nishu edeh likrob haTorah. The problem is the men look ignorant. Aval lo amru mishum priests. It's nothing to do with priests. Priests is the opposite of sneers. Because if it was priests, the Gemara would have said, we don't call a woman to read because of priesthood. The Gemara is not scared to say that. And it doesn't say that. And therefore, many people, Rav Henkin, also very strongly resist that. You can't just pull out the sneers card every time you don't want a woman to do something. Oh, it's not sanua. Okay, there are situations of sneers which are very important, but many Meforshim have rejected that. And then there's the Kol Isha. You know, the elephant in the room, or maybe the prima donna in the room. You know, the woman singing in the room. The Kolbo in number 27 says the reason that women don't lay Megillah for men, even though they have the same chiyuv, which takes away the issue of covered a Torah for the covered a tzibah for laning, when the men have a different chiyuv to the women, but with Megillah they have the same chiyuv, it is because it's Kol Isha. You can't have a woman standing up and singing in the middle of the shul. And he says at the end, it's very interesting, why not? So he says, "Atamikum kol ishu be'erva." If you look in the underlined part of 27, the afar gav the madlika is ne Chanukah. Ah, don't women light Chanukah candles? Umavarchas, and presumably they sing the bracha. You know, people actually, it's funny. Even today, people like to sing the bracha on their Chanukah more than they sing other brachas. Interesting. Why is that okay? Like Dami, that's not the same. Lefi she'ein tzur she'yir shama nashim be'es hadlaka. Because you don't have to have the men and the women together. You can put the women and the men somewhere else when the women are lighting Hanukkah candles. Okay? Ashkenazi women lighting Hanukkah candles. He has a problem with mixing. He has a problem with the men and the women being together. This is an error of the issue. And it's not just an issue of singing alone. It's an issue of mixing, of crossing lines. Look at number 28. Very interesting source. We've seen this before, but a long time ago. So Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was on the basin. He was the dayan. And Rav Yehuda was called up to the Beis Din to have a case in front of him. To look at this source. As Nina Rav Yehuda Ladina Lakamil Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda was called to appear in the Beis Din before Rav Nachman. And they were friends. They were friends. But Rav Nachman is the dying. So at the end of the case, when they'd sorted out the case, Amalei, so Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, "Nishan leimar shalom aliyalta. Shall I give your, you know, good wishes to my wife, Yalta?" And he says, "No, you shouldn't." Amalei said to him, "Hachi Amar Shmuel. Didn't Shmuel say, kol v'isha erva. Kol isha. Why is it kol isha? There's no women speaking, never mind singing. It's just Rav Nachman saying, I'm going to give your wishes to my wife." So Rav Nachman doesn't understand what's going on. He goes, "Esha ali de shaliach? You know, what do you mean? You don't want men and women connecting? Maybe through a shaliach it's okay?" Amalei says, "No. Hachi Amar Shmuel, ein shoylin b'sholem isha. You never ask how a woman's doing." So Rav Nachman's like in disbelief, what's going on? He says, "Al yidei bala, even through a husband?" Meaning it's clear what's going on here. Rav Yehuda feels that kol isha is not just about women singing, it's about inappropriate mixing in his view. And Rav Nachman is saying, "What? I'm her husband. I'm going to give her your regards to her. What's the problem?" Amalei says to him, "No, you can't do that. Hachi Amar Shmuel, ein sholim b'sholem isha, klal. You never give regards to a woman, ever." At this point, the wife intervenes, okay? Yalta is listening to all of this. Shachale de Bisu, his wife sends him a message. Sharile Tagri, just let him go home, she says. The loy in the Shavcha Kashar Amaret is making you look like an idiot. time for him to go home. Which is very interesting about Yalta. If you want to read an interesting book on Yalta and other women in the Gemara, you should read Gila Fine's book, The Mad Woman in the Rabbi's Attic. Which is a fascinating analysis of eight Talmudic women. One of them is Yalta, who often has a lot to say about things. But you see, kol isha, kol be'isha erva, is not just a problem of women singing, it's a mixing issue. Look at number 29. Says Sefer Chassidim, you can't have an unmarried man teaching in a seminary for women. Pen yitgabe yitzro, alav, he might think inappropriately about the women. Or yitzra alea, or she might think inappropriately about the teacher. That happens as well. The kol be'isha erva, and it will be kol isha. Why will it be kol isha? Inappropriate mixing, he's saying. No one's singing in the classroom. Alav b'lamid b'tzai v'ishto, okay. Father and husband can teach wife, daughter, no problem. So there are some that want to say that the problem of kovod sipur is kol isha. Either because the woman's singing, or even if she's saying the laning, I've heard some people singing laning, I wouldn't even call that singing on any level, okay? It's not even tuneful. So you could tell her, well, it's not kol isha. No, maybe it's a problem because it's inappropriate mixing, they cross the machitza, etc., etc. There are others that reject this. Rav Hakin says, no. Megillah is different. Megillah is an issue of kol isha because there has to be a beautiful tune for the Megillah and everyone's listening to her sing. And with Megillah, he says, that's the origins of this halacha. Everybody's a bit tipsy, everybody's in a funny mood, everybody's dancing and singing. Megillah's the problem. He says, this is not going to be a problem for women with Kriyas HaTorah. I need to just finish because otherwise we're not going to get finished. Okay, so what's the reason for Kovod HaTzibur? Either because the men are lazy, or because there's a sneers issue, or because there's a problem of Kol Isha, either with the singing or just with the mixing. Is it different today? So I brought you a few interesting thoughts on this. So it may be different today, but in a negative way. We have a Baal Korah today, which makes it even harder. The Baal Korah doesn't make it easier for the women to have aliyahs. It makes it more difficult for the reasons that we said last week. So you can't bring the Baal Korah as a reason why it's different today. What about social realities? So normally speaking, we don't change mitzvahs de rabbanon because we think the reasons have gone away or because the social situation has changed. Occasionally we do. Where it's absolutely clear what the reason was, and it's absolutely clear that the reason no longer applies. One good example is the snakes and the liquids. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to leave liquids open, because a snake might, during the day, a snake might come in when you're half for half an hour, drink from the liquid, and leave its venom, and it'll be poisonous, and you might die from drinking it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, We don't worry about this today. We just don't have the snakes. This just doesn't apply to us. As far as the Gemara is concerned, it's a very clear mitzvah of the Rabbanon. Says Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply today. But that's few and far between. There aren't that many cases where we say the reason is so clear and the situation is so different that it's gone away. And I think making that argument for Kovod HaTzibur for laning is very tricky. First of all, it's not clear that the reason has gone away. It's not clear that everything is so different today that will change the tznius, that will change the kol isha, that will change the fact that men are lazy and will let the women do it. It's not so clear that things have changed completely, and therefore it's a stretch. It's a bit of a kvetch to say that, oh, obviously the reasons are going to change, because, especially if this is a clear halacha, we don't just set aside clear halachot because we think that the reasons have changed. And I brought you here, actually I'll read it out in the footnote here, from Rabbi Wieder. He says, even though rabbinic enactments may reflect or have been impelled by concerns no longer in evidence, those enactments remain halachically binding, absent communal custom to the contrary. Evidence of Talmudic case law that the prohibition applied only when the animated concerns of the enactment were present, or if the formulation of the prohibition itself implies limitations. None of these conditions is present in the case of the enactment against Aliyot for women. Irrespective of how we might interpret the concern of Kovod HaTzibur, or how we might assess its contemporary relevance, according to traditional principles of halachic decision-making, the rabbinic decision against calling women to the Torah remains in force. Okay? So you can't just say that the situation has changed, we have to change the halacha. It's a little bit more complicated than that. What about another suggestion? Well, maybe we can do this in the house. We saw already Rav Yaakov Emden said, maybe if you're having a private minyan, maybe you can do things which are not the same as you would do in shul. Difficult, because if you look on the top of page 9, we're on the last page, it says, number 30, Li Nira says the Torah, the kol yud, whenever you have 10 men together, mikre tzibur, it's called a tzibur, the kol dava, for all things. The ein chiluk im heim bebet haKnesset, olo. Now, he's talking about Megillat Esther. And maybe this 10 is not necessarily 10 men, and this could be 10 women, because you don't need a minion for Megillat Esther. But the Torah seems to say no, although others said maybe. And there were situations, and I brought you a lesser-known Pesachim number 31, that said it could be that if he was a private minion with just family, then you could give a woman an aliyah, because there's no problem with tznius, she's just with her family, etc. There's no tzibur. And actually, Rav Abba Shaul, Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul, suggested this and said that there could be maybe at a family Sheva Brochas minion on Shabbos. Maybe you could give one of the women an aliyah, which is very interesting. Rav Avadi Yosef said, no way, no way. That's not happening. You can't do that. But I did bring you Rav Abba Shaul there, who maybe you would not have expected that would have said that. However, none of this helps me with a partnership minion, because this is not a private minion in someone's home anymore. It's a minion in the shul. It's a public minion, all invited, and therefore these things don't necessarily apply. And the last point I put there, can the congregation waive its own kovod? Not so straightforward. It may not be its to waive. Some people can waive their kovod. For example, a parent is encouraged to waive their kovod and say, no, it's okay. A rav is allowed to, but discouraged from waiving his kovod. A king is not allowed to waive his kovod. Where does the tzibur come? There's lots of different cases. But in those cases we said before of the pocheach. Well, let's say the community says, I don't care if the guy later davening or laning is wearing tattered clothes. Or I don't care if you appoint a 13-year-old to daven the Yamim Narayim. He's got a lovely voice. It's not so clear that you can do that. You have to have a grown man to daven, the adults, you know, who can understand the importance of the Yamim Narayim. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not clear that they can waive that kavod for those other issues, so too here. So, look, we've had a very complicated three-part series. What I didn't do on your sheet, but I did do subsequently, and I will put online, is a page of conclusions. Okay? Drawing it all together. But let me just leave you with what we haven't covered. We have not covered the issue of Kovod HaBrias, and we have not covered the very important Hashkafic issues as to, even if you can, should you? And who can decide? And we have to look at those, but not for now. I'm going to take a break for 3 weeks. Well, it's not going to be a break. I'm going to be driving around America and Canada. But you're going to get a break from me. And you're going to have some wonderful shiurim, and I'll be back, please God, a month from today.
I really need to address the issue of...